Well, welcome to another Neil's Minute. I'm still in this place in my life where God is constantly bringing me back to study and look at the fear of the Lord. I think it's an integral part of what we are avoiding or missing in our walk that is affecting the future. Jesus doesn't want us just to stand in reverence and awe of him, holding him up for who he is and being amazed at his presence in our lives, but he wants us to really understand what the fear of the Lord is. The definition of fear that we find in the book of Acts continuously is fear equals fear, dread and terror, and a reverence like to one's husband. So reverence is a part of it, but we skip the first main meaning that it tells us in. This is what fear in this book of Acts is generally the word that stands for real fear, dread, and terror. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Is a foundation, as is 2 Timothy 3:16, period. There are a lot of places in the Old Testament that talk about the fear of the Lord and the necessity of that in the lives of his people. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The secrets of the Lord are with those who fear him. There are so many other places where the fear is talked about, and we always tend to choose the meaning to hold him in reverence and awe rather than to look at the first thing it says about this word that is translated as fear in the New Testament. In the situations you look at, you realize it was not just looking up to God and go, wow, you're amazing. There was a fear of missing him. There was a fear and dread of not keeping his commandments. It brought a real tangible fear. Fear his anger. I fear the results of missing him. I fear the results of not having integrity towards him. I fear if I miss God, I may not just lose my life, but my wife may lose her life. There's a consequences to those around us when we are not walking in the integrity and obeying the commandments of the Lord out of our deep love for him, to respond to his deep love. I'm not asking us to fear the severity of God, but to recognize who he really is, and that our obedience, lack of obedience, compromise, all affect the church and the kingdom of God. There is a responsibility to grace. There is a responsibility to intimacy. There is a responsibility to the covenant. So in this place, I'm going to give a bunch of scriptures, and I'm not going to go through them. I'm just going to give them. And if you want to recognize or see what the fear of the Lord brings about, or what happens with the lack of fear of the Lord, you can read these scriptures and find for yourself. So Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14, 1 Corinthians 5:5, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Now, when I give these references, you need to recognize, you need to read around it to see the context of what I'm saying. I'm going to read the scripture locations. I'm not going to go through this, because I think that we each need to discover, how am I doing with my holding God, fearing he who can not just kill the body but send the soul to hell. So here we go. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Chapter 3, verse 19 to 26. Chapter 4, verse 23 to 31. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 14 and 39. Chapter 7, verse 51 to 60. Chapter 9, verse 1 through 9, 16, 17, 30, and 31. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and 3 and 19. Chapter 13, verses 6 through 12. I think as we all study these scriptures and look at the fear and not, you know, let it go and say, oh, I live by grace. Well, the book of Acts starts with living by grace. It's the beginning of the church age. It's the revelation of what happened in the church. And I think we have done a disservice to the gospel and to the people that we love by not sharing about the fear of the Lord, the reality that it's a real thing. I need to really, really be aware that if I miss God at any place, that I could affect how many lives, how the kingdom, my own salvation, my experience of Christ, by my ignorance or lack of willing to see that I need to fear missing him. I've only gave you a small list of scriptures in the book of Acts and a few other places that tell us that very possibly the reason that we're praying for more of Jesus and we're not seeing it is because we need to have integrity and accountability for what he has revealed, who we are, what our job really is. If we're sent just like Jesus, we're sent to seek and save the lost and destroy the works of the enemy. Our Sunday services and our great enjoyment of gathering together and hearing a message and seeing him do things is a cheap substitute in some ways for obedience to truly be about his kingdom. We want his glory in our midst, but we forget that his presence, which is his glory, is needed in the world. And our lack of integrity to all of his word and to the foundation of his word and the foundation and the beginning place of the church leaves a lot to be desired as far as our witness goes. So prayer will never be enough. Prayer is something we're all supposed to do. All of us are supposed to do, and we're supposed to do it all the time. But that's not the end of the story. If you pray, then you have to obey. Prayer without obedience is like taking a bucket to the well and dipping it, filling up with water, and you start home with it, but there's a hole in the bucket. By the time you get to where you live, there is nothing left. So our obedience to the scriptures is the confirmation of the reality of our prayers. Blessings. I pray that we, the church, find this place of a healthy fear and respect for who he is and not who we think he is. He is the creator of all things. He has set this place in our hearts that we are propelled or compelled to walk and live in, to know him. But to know him and to really accept all that he is, we need to come to a place of looking at this word fear in the sense of fearing missing him and recognizing the results of our lack of fear. A couple other scriptures that I didn't include is 1 Corinthians 5:5 and 2 Corinthians 7:1. Some of the examples of fear, what Paul thought of and what he did. Anyway, this is not supposed to be a downer, but it's something that God just won't let me loose from. This is where I'm sitting. This is where I'm walking. This is what, when I, in my quiet times, he brings up that there is a lack of fear of the Lord in the church. We reverence his glory, and we don't recognize who he really is, that he is the creator of all things, and he's the one we're going to answer to, and he tells us that all the things that we are and do will be revealed. Nothing's going to remain hidden, but all things are going to be revealed when we stand before him. So just something we might need to start including in our joy of the Lord is recognizing the reality of who he is.